Station of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. We can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
A very good Thursday to you. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video per use on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. You can check out the spectacles of one Cobra, Matt McClure over there, and the greenery of yours truly over here with my Hub City Radio green tee on as temperatures are warming up. Kind of say goodbye to some of those long sleeve shirts and what have you. You move up the shirts in the rotation, and we're ready to rock and roll free here on this Thursday installment of the show. Matt Witwicky for two parts. He'll be joining us here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so, talking all things D2 football, specifically in the NSIC and in the region. A couple changes there, a little playoff change there as well to boot, as we've got a lot of fun things to cover with Matt Witwicky. He'll be joining us for the first time on the Sports Hub, so looking forward to that discussion with him. And typically when we have a person on for the first time, we drop in one of those. So go ahead and do a little preemptive one of those. Matt McClure, we call him the Cobra. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Back-to-back days where I'm rocking the coffee here twice in the morning. So this could be the new play. Twice before 10 a.m. I don't know. It's interesting.
I tried that that caramel one that you said was pretty good up front. I tried that. Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. I'm back on the coffee train here. That's for sure.
It's a beautiful thing. Don't you love the coffee train?
Yeah, it's fun. Takes me on a good ride. That's for sure.
Sometimes a wild ride.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little too wild. But
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking so fast.
Yeah, that's basically kind of like me every day. You know, people sometimes whenever I'm covering a game, I'm sure you've heard the exact same thing. Oh, I was listening to that game last week Thursday, and do you remember when you said? And you say, nope, I don't.
Yeah.
My mind's going a million miles an hour, but if you say I said that, then okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way that thing goes. But certainly a lot of coffee here. We are coffee-fueled on the Sports Hub here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Matt McClure is the Cobra. Let's get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I sent out the tweet here about half an hour, 45 minutes or so ago. And we'll talk about that here as well with Witt, that we are 100 days away from kickoff. For Northern State, they'll be traveling down south to USF. Of course, there'll be a night game, 6 o'clock, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, last summer, I was doing kind of that countdown to kickoff with all of the graphics and that sort of thing. I dished out my first one here this morning, and
it's just
getting the blood flowing. It's just exciting to me, and this is kind of that time of the year where things slow down a little bit. Obviously, we've got some Smitty's baseball, and we'll talk about that from yesterday, but it's not exactly 100 miles an hour and 100 days away from kickoff. I'm fired up.
Yeah, fired up for football, talking with Matt Witwicky later on in the show. Just really talking to him is going to get you pumped up for football, and that's exactly where I'm at with the Tukes. I'm glad you brought back the countdown, because everybody's waiting for that September 6th date there out on the road at Sioux Falls. I know I am, and should be a lot of fun. But, yeah, man, it should be, like you said, there's a lot, not a lot of sports going on. Obviously, you got the baseball. You're wrapping up, you know, the track season, softball, things of that. So it's going to become football here this summer, that's for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. We all are. And looking forward to, like you mentioned, the track and field season getting kind of wrapped up here today, tomorrow, as well as on Saturday. That's, of course, down south in Sioux Falls. So looking forward to that here, as we'll keep you posted on all of that with the Sports Hub tomorrow. And speaking of high school, you've got a local high school player that you covered for the last couple of years that has committed to Northern State. This has been on my docket for like the last month to talk about. I just haven't gotten around to it. But I called him basically a ball magnet. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play much this year, but I will say one thing that's nice about an incoming freshman is you can play four games and still maintain your red shirt.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I think it's four. It might even be five. I think it's four, though. You can still play four games and maintain that red shirt. So we'll see if he gets a chance to play. Tukes, are you talking about? How about one Cordell Ricklick of Aberdeen Central? He, of course, committed to Northern State, ironically, 1 month ago yesterday, April 28th. So that's been out there here for quite some time. But you got a chance to watch him play for the last couple of years, and what a defensive player.
Yeah, it really was. He was kind of that do-it-all safety, could force a turnover with his hit. He could make interceptions. He had a couple pick sixes over the last couple years, including the one against Brookings. He did it against Mitchell 2 years ago. He's gotten a lot of snaps there at that strong safety position. He's been kind of the one of the leaders in that secondary over the last couple years, and glad to see that you know, he's going to have an opportunity to possibly play at the next level, because he certainly got the talent, that's for sure. He was awesome the last couple years in an Aberdeen Central uniform.
Looking forward to seeing him. By the way, for what it's worth, voice of the Cavaliers, Aberdeen Roncalli, 85 days away.
85.
From kickoff there for the Cavaliers, as they'll take on the Clark Willow Lake squad. That'll be the home opener from Dakota Bank Stadium on August the 22nd. This was also on my radar from yesterday. We just ran out of time. And heck, even my wife sent it to me this morning. I said, I was going to talk about that on the jump yesterday. She goes, oh, you got to today. So I am. It was a tweet on social media that says, when a girl says, I'll be there in 5 minutes, or I'll be ready in 5 minutes, think about it like the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in a football game, and both teams have a full complement of timeouts.
So more than 5 minutes.
A little more than 5 minutes, which I appreciate there, and no doubt about it. All right, on the Aberdeen Smitty side of things, a tough go for them this last night as they took on the Watertown Post 17 squad. Of course, that's former Nathan Canelli territory over there, and a tough go about it there in game one in particular, losing 18-2, trailing 12-0 after the top half of the first inning. Smitty's in game two, a lot different of a story, although they did still fall 5-4. Definitely appreciate the resolve to kind of flush it very, very quickly, because it was a forgetful game one. Game two, a loss is still a loss, but a lot much better than 18-2.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They played really tough there in that second game, came all the way back, and almost had a chance to win it there at the end. They just cut into the deficit each inning in game two. It's got to be difficult to kind of flush that first game. They were able to do so, and they battled there in the second game and had a chance there with the top of the lineup in the bottom of the seventh inning. That's really all you could ask for at the end of the day. This is a tough stretch for them. They got six games in 3 days. They're at Post 320 for two games today and tomorrow. So you got a lot of games. You got to be smart with the pitching staff and things of that. And obviously you wish the result was a little bit different against a rival like Watertown, but you got to like you said, the resolve and the fight back in that second game.
I will say, and it's one thing that Doug Gottlieb always talks about on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Later on in the afternoon, he has a segment called That's Baseball.
Uh-huh.
You can't explain certain things that happen in baseball. You just kind of shrug and you say, huh, that's baseball for you. That's the definition of that's baseball. You get tomahawked in game one, 18-2, nothing's going your way. And then game two is a completely different story, and it's nip and tuck, it's back and forth, it's 5-4. How do you explain that? It's just, well, that's baseball for you. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, it's just a complete pitch-by-pitch game.
Yeah.
And if you get a good outing from your pitcher, you can go far. And Coach Ganelli used five different pitchers in game two. Was kind of keeping Watertown off balance from that perspective. They got a couple really nice performances. And I really thought going into that seventh inning that hey, you got some momentum. You got the top of the lineup due up. And, you know, give credit to Nate Briggs. He was the closer there for Watertown. He got the save. And Smitty's, like we said, they just got to, you know, kind of flush those games and move forward here today versus Post 320 on the road.
Well, you said it in the postgame show last night. It's tough to play and compete at a high level when you're playing uphill, you know, when you're going upstream. And, you know, when you're down 12-0 early or 4-0 early, obviously it's a long game and a long ways to go. But you always talk about settling into the game. And I feel like if they can do that out west in Rapid City today, you know, even you're down 1-0 or it's a 2-1 ball game after the first inning, all right, that's doable. But when it's 12-0, that's tough to come back.
Yeah, I said that on the post game. You got to get out of the first inning. Yeah. If you could do that and settle into the game, it just gives everybody else confidence around you that, hey, we're in this game. We just got to keep chipping away. And they did a really good job of that in game two. They got down 4-0, and next thing you know, it's 4-1, 4-2,
yep.
5-3, 5-4. And you have a chance at the end of the game, and that's really all you could ask for. I think that's what Coach Ganelli wants, an opportunity to win games at the end of the day. And they had a chance there in game two, and you got to give them a lot of credit for that.
No question. Well, we had the reverse luck, unfortunately, yesterday for the Minnesota Twins. They fell yesterday to the Tampa Bay Rays 5-0. That's their first series loss in the last seven series. And an off day today. They'll be back in action on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out west in Seattle, taking on the Mariners. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen as we'll catch up with Matt Witwicky of D2 Football and D2Football.com here in the next about 10 minutes, give or take. Looking forward to that discussion with him as we're 100 days away from kickoff for Northern States. That'll, of course, be down south in Sioux Falls. And one thing is for sure, the season is definitely over now. There's no countdown for the Minnesota Timberwolves, unless it's maybe countdown to, you know, training camp or something like that. But they, or countdown to Cabo, I guess, more accurately. 124-94, your final score there last night as the Timberwolves, they go down and not so much swinging as you lose by 30. Maybe they didn't practice before that one. Maybe we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah,
on the WNBA side of things. But I tell you, is it time to blow it up, or is it time to just say, you know what, you tip your cap to your opponent? And I was honestly, Matt, I was thinking about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many situations where teams and front offices and coaches, they make brash decisions after an output like this, and it comes down to momentum, comes down to matchups, it comes down to sometimes where you're playing, that sort of thing. All of the kind of the intangibles, I guess, with a matchup like this with OKC, and well, it just didn't go their way, certainly.
Well, that's a good point. And they made some big moves in the offseason. They went to the Western Conference Finals last year. They mm-hmm. traded away one of their best players in Karl Anthony Towns, and they brought in Julius Randle, and that seemed to work out pretty good. I think that's been an even trade, but this series, to me, just comes down to matchups. The matchup really wasn't that great for the Wolves. The big three of Shea, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams were just better than the big two for the Wolves of Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. I mentioned this when we were talking about it in that tough loss on Monday. It's difficult to win when the opposing team, their best players have 95 points and your two best players have 21 and you get 101 points off the bench. Or not off the bench, but like from your other guys on your team. You get 101 points and you lost that game. So it comes down to the matchup for me. Oklahoma City, they proved a lot to me in this postseason. They got down 2-1 against Denver. They won that game, tied it 2. They got down, they played a game 7. They wiped the floor with Denver. They lost a game 6. So they just showed that they matured before our very eyes in these playoffs. They were kind of an unknown team, right? I mean, yes, everybody was talking about the regular season team. That happened to be the Cleveland Cavaliers because they lost in 5 to Indiana. But I think Oklahoma City has been the best team in basketball all season long, and they proved it this playoffs. And if you're the Wolves, it's going to be a long offseason from a standpoint of, hey, this is the second straight year we made the Western Conference Finals, and we've gotten the same result. It's almost like they run out of gas for whatever reason. Last year it was a fatigue thing and Luka just going crazy for Dallas. This year it was just a team that was flat out better than you for 5 games. And I thought game 4 was obviously the key. Them not winning that game four was tough, and I think they put all their energy into that game. And then you got to go back to Oklahoma City, play a game five when you put it all on the line in that game four. It's tough to come back from. And Oklahoma City, first time to the finals since 2012 when KD, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden were on the team. If you remember that.
I do. I do remember that. That was way back in the day. I think James Harden's beard wasn't even that big back in the day. I mean, it feels like it was kind of a scenario where that bad boy was kind of like right up against his chin a little bit there, right up against his face. Now it's just a massive, massive beard. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I think as soon as you put all of those eggs in that basket of game four and you call them up short, it's like, yeah, this is probably over. And we're going to bring in Witt here in just a few short moments. But also, to your point, they were just a better team for five games. Well, four, I guess, because they only won four out of five. But the way I look at it is that first game, you were well-rested. You are ready to go in theory. And then you just got mollywomped in that first game of the season or first game of the series.
Especially the second half. They played pretty well in that first half. I thought they were going to win that game. And they just... You're right. They had like 8 days rest, and they just it seemed like they were the team that ran out of gas in the second half instead of Oklahoma City. It didn't make much sense.
Matt Witwicky joins us next. We are back on the Sports Hub on this Thirsty Thursday installment of The Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. This is 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. And if you can believe it, we are officially 100 days away from Northern State football kicking off. And we had Jake Irie on the program yesterday, and we thought to ourselves, wouldn't it be nice talk a little football, and we are doing that right here and right now with, I believe, the first time we've ever had him on the program, Matt Witwicky of D2Football.com. You can follow him on X there at WittD2Football. Witt, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you, sir?
Yeah, my first time on the show. Kind of excited about it, buddy. Good to join you.
Absolutely, and we are indeed 100 days away from kickoff for Northern State, but we were talking off the air, we're less than 100 away from kickoff for the majority of the NSIC. I know you were a busy guy this last spring in terms of going from here to there, checking out some spring games and what have you. What did you kind of see on the gridiron there? I know you saw Northern State and Mankato. You also were down south in Sioux Falls checking on USF a little bit. What's kind of your global thoughts, if you will, of spring ball, I guess, covering all the bases there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, Tukes, it's great to get a chance to just get a little bit of a football feel when we get a chance to see teams going against another squad, you know, where it's not just kind of an internal scrimmage. I really enjoy getting a chance to see, like, Sioux Falls hosted Nebraska Kearney out of the MIAA. And I had a chance to zip on over. I'm in Sioux Falls, so I just made a trip on over to T, South Dakota, to go ahead and watch Northern State and Minnesota State Mankato. And, you know, guys graduate, so we get a chance to see who's kind of that next group of guys at different positions, quarterback, running back, you know, different other key spots defensively. And so I place a little bit of value on that. But, you know, there's plenty of guys who – maybe, you know, main players the next season that aren't going to necessarily participate in those. But it kind of gets my fill. Got a chance to visit with the coaches and so forth. And, you know, I think that I got a chance to see Mankato. What do they look like after making a Final Four, you know, run? And they graduate a quarterback and some other positions. And, you know, get a chance to see Northern State. And after, you know, having a season where the back half of the year really kind of picked up, and I kind of what Coach Smith thinks about his crew and so forth. So it's I really enjoy getting out and seeing some of that.
For sure. And you know, you talk a lot about the spring ball. It's just an opportunity for some unknown names maybe to kind of showcase what they've done, you know, during the spring practice and kind of the game setting to kind of get you ready for whatever summer camp and things of that look like, you know, when you start the season there in late August, right? I mean, you're trying to figure out what you have almost in spring ball. Is that fair to say?
No doubt. And you know, Mankato is the one who really comes to mind for me in that regard because of the fact that, you know, I take a look at the Mavs, you know, making the kind of run that they had in the postseason last year, and wondering, hey, can they be that kind of squad again? I had a curiosity with looking at a team like that. And They have a new quarterback by the name of Max Sims, who's going to be kind of their next guy. And, you know, maybe are they going to have a quarterback 1A, 1B? Are they going to kind of have one guy in an absolute way? And, you know, getting a chance to watch a little bit of Northern in that same way, you know, looking at Daniel Britt, for example, and seeing him make some plays. And so it's very interesting to see a little bit of that, maybe who are some of those next guys.
Matt Witwicky joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. Again, you can follow him on X there, at WitD2Football. And speaking of Northern State, again, 100 days away from kickoff for them as they'll be taking on that USF squad down south there at Bob Young Field. I'm looking forward to that. I know our buddy Tom is as well. And you look at that matchup, obviously it's still a ways out, but a lot of those teams got some great reps there in that spring game, like you mentioned, Northern against Mankato, Kearney against USF. What jumped off the page to you from the Northern perspective against that Maverick squad?
Yeah, you know, I was very encouraged to see with some of the things they were doing offensively with Daniel Britt at quarterback, where they were able to get him involved nicely in some of the zone read run game. He had a nice probably 50, 60-yard score where he got loose and really got a chance to see, you know, kind of the player he can be with that. Now, they did run him a fair amount in that game, where to the point where I was almost concerned that they were overcooking things a little bit with him. But I think that they would like to be able to be a little bit more dynamic offensively this year. Last season, they were at about 20 points a game, which really wasn't kind of the number that they were going to want to be at if they're aspiring to be a playoff squad like they are. But at the same time, you know, they've also – you know, got some nice guys that they can count on at running back, whether it's Wyatt Block, you know, the Hank Crafts and other guys like that. So Mankato knew, I think, that they were going to run the ball and was able to defend that fairly well. So I think that I'd like to see Northern be able to get a little bit better down the field in the passing game. And that's something that I think they're going to have to continue to work on in this offseason, along with their, you know, their new offensive coordinator, Braylee Brown, and so forth. And, you know, they had a little bit of that going on, but Mankato's a real tough team to kind of try and find your way and see what you have in a game like that quickly in the spring.
Yeah, what I think is really cool about it is, you know, these spring games, Matt, is, you know, how you're able to play a conference opponent, right? I mean, you're playing Minnesota State, Mankato. You mentioned how great they were last year, and Northern. They played last year late in the season. So it's an opportunity, yes, to see what you have, but also this is a team you could be playing later on down the line, whenever that may be.
Sure. And you know, to be real candid, you know, Matt, if we take a look at it, most of these squads, they are going to try and strategically pick out a team that they are not playing that year. Now, a year ago, I saw those two same squads meet in the spring in Harrisburg and played a contest then, really because the Coach Schmidt and Coach Hoffner really just enjoy the fact of playing a real football game, not just, you know, kind of taking practice reps, but a real football game, referees, the whole thing. And they enjoy that quite a bit. But, you know, going forward, like this year, the Mavs don't meet up with the Wolves. And I think that's probably a good thing as well, because otherwise you end up seeing those teams a little bit too frequently. And that's why you saw Sioux Falls, for example, playing Nebraska-Kearney, because they're not on their schedule. And in a perfect world, I think that's how you'll see some of that play out going forward.
Matt Witwicky, our guest of D2Football.com on Fox Sports Aberdeen and the Wolves, and as well as the rest of the NSIC. We're talking off-the-air moves from Super Region 3 to Super Region 4. I know the playoff field expands from 28 teams to 32 teams, and Matt and I were talking, I don't know what, maybe like a month or so ago, about that Northern game against Mankato last year, and you say, if the Wolves beat Mankato last year, they're probably into that playoffs. You know, as it pertains to the 32 teams, you know, if that's the way it were last year, they probably would have slid into that maybe 31st or 32nd spot, who knows. But how do you think that impacts the NSIC going forward there, now that you move it from 28 teams to 32 teams in a different super region?
Yeah, you know, I talked with both actually Coach Hoffner and Coach Schmidt about that very thing, over the last month or so. And we really don't know exactly what that's going to look like just yet, because obviously the performance of three other conferences, you know, where you're basically looking at changing who you're in the postseason with teams from Michigan, Ohio, and basically, you know, kind of Missouri area. And it's kind of a moving target in regards to, can you make the tournament or not, having three teams, maybe even four teams in the dance from your conference. The Northern Sun has gotten very accustomed to having three teams make it. I still think that they will. I think it would be a big ask to look for anything more than that, because one of the conferences that's in this with them, the GLIAC, the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, has teams like Ferris State and Grand Valley, who are, you know, the defending national champions, and a team in Grand Valley that's used to being in that conversation. So I think it's going to make it a little bit challenging to have more than three. But you know what? If the Northern Sun can get three in every year, I'll take it. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking with some coaches during the offseason there at Northern, and they're going back to the, looks like, the North and the South this year. I know they did that in years past. The last couple of years, they just kind of were jumbled all up in one together. So now they're going back to the North and South. Do you like that, going back to that?
Yeah, you know what? When Upper Iowa left kind of in the middle of the night, you know, before the season got going a few years back, it kind of put the conference in a bad spot where they just had to scramble real quick to kind of figure out scheduling, and they moved away from the North-South format. I pretty much figured that this was going to happen with Jamestown joining the league. You know, I think there's good and bad with it. The teams in the South, if you look at them across the board, probably a little bit more level competitive. The North's going to have a little bit more of a high end to low end, with teams like Duluth and Bemidji who have been kind of showing that high end. And then on the low end, you know, you've got whether it's Mary, you know, Jamestown is obviously not expected to just come in and jump right in as a competitor right from the get-go. And, you know, Minot had a good year last year but has not been a traditional power. And so you run the risk of the North having a little bit more of a high and low end to it. And it really is left to be seen as to how that's going to affect a team like a Northern State and their schedule. Like, they don't have Mankato this year. That's probably a positive. But at the same time, they need to take care of business with teams in the North that, you know, like a Jamestown, a Minot, and others, that, frankly, they should be expected to be.
Matt Witwicky, our guest on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And, you know, let's talk about that Minot State squad here for just a second. I mean, they got off to a really, really good start this last year. I know they kind of leveled off towards the middle and tail end, but they were competing just about every single week. I think Ian Shields has done an incredible job with that program. And do you feel like they're kind of getting set to maybe take that next step this upcoming year?
I tell you, Tukes, I think it's easy to believe in them, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You went ahead last year and watched, obviously, the Wolves, you know, struggle with them. They end up, you know, dropping a game with them. Sioux Falls also drops a game with them. Both games that you probably would have figured, hey, Minot's not winning those games. And the fact that he's brought the option, the flex bone offense, on up to Minot, North Dakota, and has got believers up there and is able to recruit and kind of get things going. And he's got a little bit of an interest up there right now and create a little bit of a fire up there. And it's fantastic to see. Coach Shields got a lot of energy. I have a real feeling that they're a tough team to prepare for on a week's notice when they run something that's so completely different than what everybody else is doing in the conference. And the better they get at it, that offensively, the harder that's going to be for everybody else. We've seen that nationally with a team like Harding University, who won a national title 2 years ago with that same type of offense. So I think they're a real interesting story at bare minimum, and maybe an outside competitor on the upside.
Obviously, Northern State, they open up with Sioux Falls week one there of the season. Last time out, you know, Sioux Falls, they came here and they beat up Northern pretty good. I think that was either week two or week three. So this is scheduled as a night game, which we talked about there last week. It's going to add a little bit more juice. I know it's May, but, I mean, that should be a big-time matchup there to start the year under the lights, you know, in-state rivals. I mean, that and Sioux Falls, they finished 7-3 in the conference last year. This is a pretty solid squad.
Well, it's a fair point you bring up there. There's a chance that Sioux Falls may be looked at as one of the favorites in the conference. Now, I know Coach Glow in Sioux Falls is kicking the radio the moment I say something like that. But, you know, at the same time, they are bringing back most of that squad, including Cam Dean, a quarterback that you guys got a chance to see. He can make some plays. And, you know, a heck of an athlete. And they bring back a lot of that defense. So I agree with you. I think that's going to be a real interesting game right out of the chute there. And when I take a look at the Wolves' schedule, the last two seasons, you know, Coach Schmidt and I have talked about this, that they've really had a hard time getting out of the gate.
Slow starts, yeah.
And have kind of dug a hole a little bit. And where to the point where by the end of the first month of the season, they've run the risk of kind of just playing out the string. I think this year, guys, that when you take a look, that Sioux Falls game is a pivotal game for them, because after that, when you look at Wayne State, Concordia, and UMary to finish out the month, there's no reason that if they win that Sioux Falls game, I mean, they could very well go 4-0 throughout that month, and I'm sure Schmitty's thrilled to hear me say that on the radio, but you know what? I think that this is a different outlook if you're a fan of the Wolves.
Well, they've beaten Wayne State the last 2 years, and of course it was quite the thriller last year against CSP there at Seafoam Stadium. We'll talk about that Wolves schedule coming up next. We'll take a quick break in the action. More with Matt Witwicky after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. This is a Thirsty Thursday installment of the show, and it's kind of like our boys in the morning, two pros and a cup of Joe. Every day is a football Friday for those guys, but you know it's a football Thursday for us here as Matt Witwicky joins us. We're 100 days away from kickoff for Northern State football, and we were talking just before we left for our last segment about the upcoming schedule for the Wolves, and you've got a tough one to open things up against USF, but overall, I think it's a pretty good schedule for NSU. Three straight home games in the month of October, and then some tough ones to wrap up the season there with Augustana, certainly, and then maybe that Minot State squad. They might be playing for something coming up in that first week of November, too. You never know. But I think overall, pretty competitive schedule for Northern State, and it's kind of favorable to them because they've got that extra home game this year as well.
Yeah, and, you know, you started off last year at USD. After a game like that, it's kind of like you're left putting Humpty Dumpty back together a little bit after a loss like that against a really good squad. And, you know, there's good and bad that comes with that, and that's the challenge that the squad had a year ago. And, you know, I take a look at the schedule this year, you don't have USD right away. Instead, you know, you add Southwest Minnesota State as your kind of your non-conference, you know, because it's really hard to schedule a non-con when we're kind of out in the geographic outpost that we are here in the Dakotas. And I take a look at this and I see, okay, you got Bemidji and Duluth at the start of October. Clearly the games that you're looking at as kind of signature games there. But if you go ahead and you kind of piece this together, you can really see a path for the Wolves to have real success this year. And, you know, you get later in the year where you get a game with Augustana, for example, the beginning of November. You got Jack Strand from Moorhead, the star quarterback who's coming back the week before that. But with the way the Wolves played in the back half of the season, Tukes, I'd like to think that if you're a Wolves fan, you got to be pretty optimistic about how this schedule could play out.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Matt. And, you know, you mentioned some of the quarterbacks that the Wolves are going to be facing. Strand, Dean there with USF. And we've talked with Coach Mike Schmidt a lot about, you know, the defense for the Wolves and how they were kind of an anchor last season, especially when they went on the run, how good that defense was. And, you know, they got a lot of guys coming back to this year's squad. We've talked about that, right, Tukes, how deep they are on the defensive mm-hmm. side of things. That's going to be a strength for this team this year. Would you agree?
I would. I mean, obviously, you have guys like Jake Adams, who, you know, is going to fill up the box with how many stops he's going to get. You know, you got guys like, you know, Gutierrez and others who really, they got good up front and were able to make plays. And I really thought that they were able to show some of that when you looked at games like your Duluth and your Bemidji's, where they were able to really hold teams that were used to having bigger outputs down. And you're bringing a lot of the guys back. So there's really no reason in my mind, you know, that they can't still be real strong defensively and kind of build off that success.
Keegan Mountain's back at cornerback there as well. They got a couple of transfers, one from Mankato, one from Shadron, to play cornerback there as well. I mean, I think this upcoming fall ball is going to be very competitive just to find out who's going to get playing time. I mean, you've got some all-conference guys there that are legit. It feels like on paper the depth is really, really there, I would say, quite a bit. And, you know, defensively, I think that's probably going to be the strength, like you mentioned, Jake Adams and how good he is. Do you feel like there's a team that we haven't talked about yet with that's maybe ready to take a step forward? I know I look at Winona, you know, they were a good team last year, not a great team. They've got a new head coach. Of course, Bergstrom goes from Winona to SDSU to be the defensive coordinator. Is there a team that we haven't hit on quite yet that you have kind of an eyebrow raised and say, okay, I could see something from them this year?
Well, I two things. Morehead last year was a team that was always kind of looked at as, this is a squad that seems like they can play with the teams at the very top of the division, and then also a team that can lose to anybody in the division, or, you know, in the Northern Sun. And a season ago, as good as they seemed at times, they ended up being a 6-5 club. I think that they could be much better than that if they can kind of get a little bit more consistent. And then the other team that we really haven't dug into at all, Tukes, is the 2-time defending champ Augustana.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And what does that squad look like when they lose Epperson and a whole lot of the other weaponry that they had? On both sides of the ball, they lose Peyton Buckley on the defensive side, along with a slew of other all-conference players. And I'm curious to see, as we kind of move through this, who ends up being the teams that kind of move towards the top. Because, guys, what we've seen each of the last few years is there is, it's a real battle in this conference. You could end up having 2 losses and still be the best team in the Northern Sun, which probably ends up putting you on the road in the playoffs and all that. But it just shows, I think, some of the depth that we have in this conference when you've got Moreheads and you've got Northern States, both who finished with 6-5 records, who were both able to beat top teams. You don't see a lot of conferences that have that kind of depth.
Yeah, and you know, another interesting team that I'd like to talk about too is this Bemidji State squad. Last year, they had a little tough stretch in October. Obviously, Northern beat them with the 2-point play, and then they lost to Winona. But then they got hot towards the end of the year in November. They went on a nice little run in the NCAA tournament. I know, you know, last year, and it's different year to year. I understand that, but this was a pretty fun team last year. Undefeated at home, they were 4-4. They were kind of unpredictable a little bit. They went to overtime with Michigan Tech. I mean, this was a fun team last year.
Yeah, I had a chance to see their final game of the year at Mankato, a game where they were at the goal line with 4 chances to win the contest and couldn't make it happen at the very end, and battled like heck along the way. I'll be very curious to see. They're going to have a change at quarterback because of graduation. And when I take a look at that club, Connor Carver is a heck of an athlete that they have who is going to be coming in at quarterback. He had 2 separate times in the playoffs where he busted loose for more than a 50-yard run from scrimmage. He is a really, really nice athlete that they have a quarterback. I don't know if he's as refined a thrower as they need him to be just yet, but he's a heck of an athlete. And I think they're going to be interesting to watch because of that. Now, on the defensive side, Matt, I am a little concerned.
Okay.
They lose almost all that front seven.
Okay.
To graduation. And then Marcus Hansen, their star defensive end, went in the portal and transferred to Harding University down in Arkansas. And so they've got quite a bit of reloading to do defensively, unlike some of the other teams that we've been talking about, whether it's Northern State, Sioux Falls, and some of the others.
Sure.
Couple more here with Matt Witwicky on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. Of course, you can follow him on X there, and of course, us as well, for that matter. And, you know, you talk about the transfer portal. You got guys coming and going. We talked about this yesterday with Jake Irie on the Sports Hub that, according to a couple of different outlets, the Wolves have had the best transfer portal spring slash early summer here, and I guess late winter from this last year as well. What have you kind of seen from the Northern State perspective in terms of the transfer portal? Looks like they've got some guys coming in.
Yeah, you know what? It's really hard to kind of wrap your arms around that piece because there isn't anything at the D2 level that is measuring it the same way some of the other tools that you would see, you know, at the D1 level kind of have that a little bit more
concreteness, if you will.
Exactly. So I don't think I'm going to have a real good idea league-wide what all this looks like until we get a little bit further in. Now, I know that, like, Mankato was able to get a few, like, they were able to get an all-conference D-back from Minot through the portal who's going to help them as a plug-and-play guy, and a South Dakota State wide receiver and some things like that. Now, I know Coach Schmidt has been talking to me quite a bit about the fact that, you know, they're going to need to become a little more explosive offensively and have been trying to kind of tap into the portal for some of that. I don't know if we're going to truly know what all these teams and the impact of the portal is until a little ways into the season, simply because of the fact that a lot of these guys aren't going to be getting all the press clippings that you would see when you watch the Jackrabbits down the street or some of the others and some of the more attention that they get. But I'm really curious to see offensively, especially if they can go ahead and find a little bit more for that offense. I agree with you. Defensively, Tukes, I think they've really helped themselves, especially at corner with a few of those pickups.
So why do you think, you know, if a transfer wide receiver, you know, comes into a different place and, you know, he struggles right away and it takes some time, why do you think some of those things kind of happen? It seems like especially you see that maybe at the D2 level, maybe so more so than the D1, like a D1 receiver, he's on a roster to D1, he comes to a D2 and he doesn't produce as much as you'd think because, hey, this guy was getting D1 looks at a high school.
I think there's times where players come on in to a D2 situation and they feel like, okay, everyone pay attention, I've just arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I've seen that countless times. I remember Sioux Falls had a guy back years ago, came in and had played for the Colorado Buffaloes and came in at wideout and barely saw the field. And some of this is, does the player come on in and understand that there are very talented athletes that they're going to be competing against, and they are not going to just be given the keys to the car? And I think that's some of the challenge that you see a little bit with guys who come on in. If their head's not in the right spot, despite the talent they may have, the way they can conduct themselves or come off to teammates, that can be a little bit off-putting. And all of a sudden, you're in a situation now where you thought you were going to walk in and be the guy, and you found out you had to really work hard at this, and it's not everything's just not going to be given to you.
Maybe one more here with Matt Witwicky on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And Witt, you don't know this, but my compadre across the way here is a Baltimore Ravens fan. Sam Pitts is going to be a Baltimore Raven, signed a free agent contract.
Yep.
You know, they've got a pretty good slew of tight ends there in theory anyway. Not to open up old wounds, but, you know, I'll just leave it at that, I suppose. You think there's a legit chance that he and some of the other NSIC guys that are getting camp invites and free agent contracts are making the 53-man roster come September?
Well, it's a tough place where you already got some pretty darn good tight ends there already, right? But You know, every one of these guys who's going to go compete, first of all, the fact that they're in the position that they are to be able to do that, really, the fact that they have kind of a seat at the table right now says a whole lot for their ability and what they've done up until this point. You know, Sam Pitts is a heck of an athletic guy. And if you take a look at him, he's got a great frame. He's got a lot of things that that NFL guys would like. And if you take a look at Shane Zylstra, former Minnesota State Mankato receiver, who has caught on at tight end for the Detroit Lions. He missed the season due to injury, but he's caught a few touchdowns with them and has caught on with that club. You take a look at the skill set, athleticism, and so forth. You know, Pitts has got a similar path in front of him, and I would definitely not be surprised if he made that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that all plays out, but looking forward to the next countdown of 100 days for Northern State football. Again, less than 100 for much of the rest of the NSIC. You can follow him on X at WittD2Football, Matt Witwicky of D2Football.com. Thanks for being a part of the program today, and we'll talk to you later on down the road.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
And likewise, thanks so much. That's Matt Witwicky joining us here. First time having him on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, if you can believe it, 100 days away from kickoff down south there in Sioux Falls. And you know, just like those guys on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Eh, we can talk football anytime.
Yeah, we certainly can. And just kind of getting an outlook. I know it's really early on, but just hearing his perspective going into fall camp and when the season starts, it's going to be pretty electric for Northern Sun football, man. I can't wait.
Looking forward to it. Again, you can follow him on social media there and check out his stuff at d2football.com. That about does it for us and our time together here today. For Matt McClure, I'm David Tewksbury signing off. We're back in action tomorrow on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And Colin Cowherd, he's coming up at the top of the hour right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.